So we're actually talking now about one of the things that we've spoken actually least about, and that is the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Thank you, Vavil. We know that on Yom Kippur, the Torah describes in Parshas Achrimos, the Gemaras, and really the first seven prakim of Maseches Yuma, discuss the Avodas Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, there are a lot of unique Avodas, a lot of unique elements to what he does. It's a very unique and special day. It's a day in which really the Kohen Gadol plays much more of a dominant role than he really normally even does throughout the rest of the year. The show, it's really all on him, or at least a lot of it's really all on him. And the Kohen Gadol is geared towards, he enters Kodesh HaKadoshim, very unique and unparalleled avodas. And he also is really there to help give the kapara to Klal Yisrael that Klal Yisrael desperately wants and needs on Yom Kippur. So there are a lot of different karbanos that get offered on Yom Kippur. Let's try to get a little bit of, I guess, background, just so that we can be in more or less a good place. If you look at the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, I'll share the screen so people can see it. It's a very famous Rambam. There's a lot of things to say about it, but we're going to focus on a couple of things. By Yom Tzom, interestingly, I think this is Rosenzweig was pointing out, the Rambam emphasizes in his discussion of the Karbanos on Yom Kippur that it's B'yom Tzom, meaning he connects the fact that we fast on Yom Kippur to all the Karbanos that we do. Makrivin, Tamit Shachar, Retamit Ben Harbayim, Keseder Kol Yom Vayom. There are certain Karbanos that we offer on Yom Kippur like we do pretty much every day of the year. A fascinating way, I believe, Salvechik pointed out, to begin the unique halachas of Avodas Yom Kippurim by pointing out it has the same carbon tamid that we have every other day of the year. Okay. Your makriven musaf hayom, you offer carbon musafs. There's the se'ir chalas b'chutz, the old makriven yasser al musaf zeh. Aside from the carbon tamids and aside from the carbon musafs, the Kohen Gadol offers a par ben bakar lechatas v'hu nisraf, a certain kind of chatas called the par of the Kohen Gadol. That's his. That's a carbon he offers. The ayil le'ola. V'shnehem mishal Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol himself, the Rambam Paskins, pays for those karbanos. Additional karbanos he offers, the shnei se'irei izim, the seir hamishtaleach, the one you offer. And the Rambam says, nimtzu'u, koha behemos, hakreven biyom zeh, chamesh esrei. That there are 15 different karbanos total, which the Rambam says you offer on this day, and he ends the par Kohen Gadol chatas v'hu nisraf, and the one that we're going to focus on today is the par of the Kohen Gadol. We've spoken already about the Seir HaMishtaleach, but here today we're speaking about the par of the Kohen Gadol, the one that he himself pays for. Let's introduce a little bit more with some background information. Then we're going to focus on a couple of different issues, which I think can be and should be for us very, very important. The Torah tells as follows. In the beginning of Parashat Achrimos, the Torah says, Bazos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. These are the things that Aaron has to do to be able to enter Kosher Kedoshim, Kavarsi brings. Bipar ben Bakar Lachatas V'ayel La'ola. He brings a par for a chatas. Now, what's interesting is Psukim Vav and Yud Aleph seem to be repetitive. The Hikriv Aras Parachatas Asher Lo V'chiper Ba'ado U'va'ad Beso. He offers this par, and it gives him and his family, or his bayis, kapara. And in Yud Aleph, we're told, if you've done a little bit more of the Avoda, the Hikriv Aras Parachatas Asher Lo V'chiper Ba'ado U'va'ad Beso. Again, the similar or same pasuk. It seems like there's something going on with this par. The Torah is repetitive in terms of the kapara it brings for the Aaron HaKohen and his Beso. So we got to figure out what exactly is going on here. What exactly is happening? There's a beautiful kliyaker here on the sheet talking about the unique karbanos that we offer on Yom Kippur, a par, an ayil, and the shnei se'irei izim. He connects them to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Not for now. Okay. What's v'chiper ba'ado uva'ad Beso? So what's he doing with the par, and why does the Torah tell us twice he's v'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beso? So Rashi writes in his Perush al Torah, that's a reference to misvada alav avonosav avonos beso. He does a vidoy, a confession on that carbon. It's the first time he does it for him and his family. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, he does it again, and this time it's V'alachiv HaKohanim Shehin Kulon Kriyim Beso. So first is the more, I guess, narrow Beso, when he does a vidui on the carbon. Then he does an additional vidui for the rest of the Kohanim. The Ibn Ezra quotes a deya that maybe even it should be for the Levim as well, but he says V'hu Rachuk, Rachel Levim Yashvim Yisrael, it's not true. But that's essentially, that what he has is one par. It's the Kohen Gadol pays for it, but he does a vidui both for him, and his idea of Beso expands a bit to also include the rest of the Kohanim, the rest of the Kohanim. Okay. If you, a couple other pieces of information, then we'll go. The Rambam and Hilchos, Avodas Yom HaKippurim, in Perek Beis Halacha Vav, describes for us this vidui which he does. Humisvade bayom shlosha viduyim. Total, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur is going to do three viduyim. One, al yedei atzmo tchila, that's the first par for him and his bayis. Two, im shara kohanim, with the kohanim. That's, those are both on the par chadot that we're speaking about right now. And the third is on the Seir HaMishtaleach. And that he does for all of Klal Yisrael. So this Seir HaMishtaleach is for all of Klal Yisrael. The par chadot asher lo is the Kohen Gadol's carbon, the two vidois for both him and his family, and then him and all of the Kohanim. The last thing as far as introduction, and then we'll pause for some questions. The Rambam in the third perek of Hilchos, Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the Rambam talks about how something very fascinating. What would we do with the Zrikas? The Zrikas, we're not going to focus that much on the Zrikas, because in these shiurim we're focusing more on the essence of the carbon than the avodas that you do. But the Rambam tells us that you take the parchatas and the seir that was Lahashem, and you bring their dam into the heichal, and you're going to do 43 zrikas. Now these zrikas are going to be unique, because some of these are going to be bakodesh hakadoshim, bein bade ha'aron, karov lekapores, on the paroches. You're going to do these zrikas not just like normal zrikas that go on the mizbeach, but some of these zrikas are going to go inside the heichal on the kapores. It's going to go towards the paroches, the part that covers the aron, the part that separates the holy and the holy of holies, the kodesh kodashim. The zrikas play a dominant role. None of that is per se so surprising if we know, as he's quoted in the past, that zrikas, the Gemara tells us in Zvachim, ein kapara ela bidam, that zrikas correlate with kapara. And we know that the chatas, as an example, which gives more kapara, has more zrikas. So it makes sense that on Yom Kippur, when we're really going for like the extra kapara of Yom Kippur, with the par chatas for the Kohen and his family and for all the Kohanim, and then the Seir Lash and the Seirim, which are going to go for Klal Yisrael, it makes sense that those zrikas would be extra powerful, present zrikas that are going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the Heichal. It makes sense that those are going to be the zrikas because it's unique. So we have this par that the Kohen Gadol pays for. That's what takes care, again, of him and his family, the zrikas. That much we have seen. That's general background. Before we speak about, I think, three issues, one minor and two a little bit more significant, which will lend into, I think, a particular yisod. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. One interesting question to be aware of. This will mention very briefly, but it will frame things. Many of us know the Mishnah in Yuma and Dav Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us an important halacha, that the Kohen Gadol has to be married. Why does the Kohen Gadol have to be married? So the Mishnah tells us there that he has to be married because, 1 second, I look at the chat behind. Oh, we'll get to that point a little bit, I think. Fair question. Let's leave it as fair question for now. The Mishnah tells us that the Kohen Gadol has to be married And we even have a backup. And Rabbi Yehuda says we even have a backup wife because he has to be married. V'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beso, beso zo ishto. He does vidoy for his wife also. Interestingly, that's why the Kohen Gadol has to be married. The Gevuras Ari, one of the great Acharonim in Meseches Yuma, raises the following question. The mucker of this halacha, that the Kohen Gadol has to be married, is only when it comes to the par of the Kohen Gadol, the carbon we're speaking about, the par chatas asher lo. That's where the Torah says the Kohen Gadol has to be married. Wonders the Gevuras Ari, is this a unique halacha about the par of the Kohen Gadol? That for the par and for his vidoy, he has to do a vidoy for beso, he has to be married. But if something would happen, God forbid, to his wife after he did that, then maybe it's okay if he's not married for the other avodas. Only for that particular avoda does he have to be married. Or alternatively, since says the Gevuras Ari, maybe even though it's taught in the context of par chatas asher lo, that maybe in fact this halacha is a more sweeping halacha, that the Kohen Gadol has to be married. The Kohen Gadol has to be married. Maybe it's more of a sweeping kind of a halacha. What that does for us is it frames an important question, which is, are we going to find examples of parchatas, this Kohen Gadol's par being like unique, even in the context of Yom Kippur? That's the only one where he has to be married or something like that. Or to what extent is it really sort of representative of? And there are halachas there which expand and tell us more about the nature of Yom Kippur as a whole. I'll share with you a great vort. We say this every year on Yom Kippur night. When we speak about the Avos of Kippurim, Rabbi Meir Salvechik wrote a beautiful article where he pointed out something fascinating. Catholics really specifically don't have their priests, their leaders, be married. Priests are not allowed to be married. What's the reason why in Catholicism priests don't get married? The answer is that they assumed that if they would be married, that would detract from their ability, at least in one of the theories, I guess, to be able to be as giving and as focused on klal, on others. If you're too focused on your family, you won't be there for others. It serves as an amazing foil for this halacha found in the context of the par of the Kohen Gadol, which is specifically, maybe for the Gevuras Ari, even in this karban, that we are makbid that he be married. Why is that so? Because Rabbi Salvechik suggested that when it comes to the our religion believes in something else, which is having familial relationships and knowing the meaning of family and close relationships doesn't take away from your ability to give to others. Maybe in the narrow quantitative time sense, it does. But having a family sensitizes you to the needs of other people. Having to interact with close family members, it impacts you in a very profound and meaningful way, and that makes the Kohen Gadol be able to do it. Yes, Aviat, that's the source for the halacha based on Gemara's Maseches Tainis in Shulchan Aruch, that we often try to have a chazan, it's not me'akev, but we often try to have a chazan, at least l'chadchila, in a certain sense, whatever that means, a chazan who's married, it's a similar kind of a phenomenon. Now, it's a very beautiful and I think important idea, and it gives us insight into why on this par, I would make a suggestion, why there are these like concentric, you know, there's a vidoy for him and his family, a vidoy for the Kohanim, and a vidoy for everyone. Why is the same par having two vidoys done to it? Why is not just do it everyone together? Just have one vidoy for all of Klal Yisrael and both Karbanos together. Why do it like this? So I think one of the answers, and again, I think it's in the world of Drush, but also not, the Noam Elimelech speaks about how we believe in Ahavas Yisrael, in the power sometimes of like concentric circles. There are people I'm closer to, and there's a little bit of an extension. We want, on the one hand, to be close to everyone, but sometimes the Kohen Gadol's ability to feel closer relationships to his family is not because he doesn't care about Klal Yisrael, but it's that close relationship which gives him increased insight to be sensitive and to express empathy with others. Not to make it awkward, but undoubtedly when my father passed away, so one of the things which I'm now much more sensitive to is when I hear about someone else whose parent has passed away, it impacts me in a much more profound and serious way because I can appreciate more as a result. And that's part of this par serves. It's the Kohen Gadol's par. We'll come back to this episode in a little bit, but it's one thing which is really sort of significant about it. But again, that's the Gevuras Ari Shaila. We're just suggesting an important idea of the Ba'ad Beso. Now, What's interesting is the following discussion, which takes place. Next section of Shir. It's a very intriguing model. We're going to build and try to suggest a particular mahalach, which you can take or leave. We'll try to do our best. He's mistopic about it. Shami shall not be fall on one side. He himself is Vakasi Yesh La'ayin. Okay. There is a machlokas in the Gemara Maseches Yuma on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The machlokas is, who has to do the shechita of this par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? Who shechs it? So in general, there's two points of background information that are important to know. One is a Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Yudalid. The Gemara tells us, it's here also, the Gemara also, that shechita is lav avoda hi. Generally speaking, shechita is allowed to be done by a non-Kohen. All the other avodas of a karban, catching the blood, walking it over, the zrikas, that's all done by a Kohen, but shechita can be done by a Zar. There's another important discussion, a discussion in Rishonim, but we assume that the Kohen Gadol does kim'at all the avodas on Yom Kippur. It's not clear, Machlokes Rishonim, what the Raisa, what the Rabbanan, is it only really the unique Yom Kippur halachas? Is it everything? But the Kohen Gadol does a lot more on Yom Kippur than he ordinarily does. Comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shtei Shchito Shamati. I heard about two Shchitas. One of the Parah Aduma and one of the Par of the Kohen Gadol. I heard that one of them a non-Kohen can do, and one of them a non-Kohen can't do. I'm just not sure which one can the non-Kohen do. Can you do the Shchita of Parah Aduma, or can you do the Shchita of the Par? And the Gemara quotes a Machlova between Rav and Shmuel. Chad Amar Parah Psula Parok Shera. Chad Amar Paro Psula Para Ksheira. The Gemara quotes the Machlokas, can a Zar Shecht, the Par of the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur? Can he do it or not? Can he Shecht it? So the Rishonim are intrigued by this Shita that maintains that the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Shechita of the Par of the Kohen Gadol. Sorry, that the Zar could, that the Kohen Gadol would have to do it. Why would the Kohen Gadol have to do it? Shechita, in general, is not considered to be an avoda. So why exactly would he have to do it? What exactly is the rationale behind demanding or requiring the Kohen Gadol be the person that does it? Says Tosfos and Yuma, we're going to see two mahalchim that we'll try to elaborate on. Tosfos and Yuma on Lamed Beis and Beis is as follows. Vafilu man deposel, Hainu dafka paro, only the paro of the Kohen Gadol, is that true? The asi lechovas hayom, the kaya leha aron v'chukah. It's a special gezeiros hakasav look in the Gemara, that things that come lechovas hayom, Yom Kippur, avodas, we are more makbid, we are more careful on the Kohen Gadol doing it. In a certain sense, one way of looking, why does the Kohen Gadol have to do the shechita of the par? Because on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol's role expands. And it expands to do lots of avodas, and it expands to places that it normally wouldn't. And even though, ordinarily, even a non-Kohen can do Shechita, when it comes to the part of the Kohen Gadol, V'chovas hayom ka'asi, we have a Gezeiros HaKasav, we're going to expand the halacha, he himself is allowed to, he has to do the shechita, which is there. Interestingly enough, what would happen if he wouldn't do it? What would the halacha be if he wouldn't do it? So the Gemara in Yuma on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis tells us that for the man da amar, that the shechita's par has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, if a Zar would do it, he violates the iser of a Zar doing avoda. Meaning, even though a Zar can normally shecht things, not the par in Yom Kippur. That becomes the Kohen Gadol's avoda. There's something about this carbon of the Kohen Gadol. It's his carbon. The shechita has to be his. This, by the way, is part of an amazingly fascinating question. Rabbi Arieh Malin, Salvechik has this also in a bit of a different way, entertains the possibility that normally we know there are Kohanim, and non-Kohanim are called Zars. A non-Kohen, they're a Zar, a non-Kohen, they're a stranger, and they're not allowed to do Avoda. Rabbi Yochanan Sapola points out in general a definition, maybe somewhat flexible. The Bar Leib says on Yom Kippur, it could be, and of Salvechik in a similar way, that on Yom Kippur, even regular Kohanim become like a Tzar, because Yom Kippur is the day of the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol is one that does all the Avodah. So even a regular Kohen that does certain Avodahs, he's like a Tzar on Yom Kippur. So the first Mahalach is, this is a general halacha, that if the Kohen Gadol, he has to shecht it, the Kohen Gadol has to shecht it, because it's the Kohen Gadol's expanded role, which is critically important. Rosenzweig wrote an article about a year ago on Yom Kippur being the day of the Kohen Gadol, very important. Not enough time to speak about it all now, but a very important article. There is a second Mahalach, which is a Mahalach found in Tosfos in Yuma on Daf Membeis of an Aleph. They quote the Rashba, the Rosh Mishantz, quoting from Yosef Kaltzon, I think is how you say it. Avi, if he does minimal, if he does anything, Machlok to be shown him in Yuma, but minimal, anyone else, anything else? What does Rabbi Yosef Kaltzon, I'm sorry if I'm like an Amaretz, not knowing how to say it, although they say there's something very endearing about people that mispronounce things they only know through reading. It says something powerful about it. Kuf Lamet Tzadi Vav Nun. I'll ask Rabbi Leibowitz. I'm sure he knows, and then hopefully he'll make fun of me if it's like, how do you not know that? I never know. It's like, well, I didn't get my PhD in the Balia Tosfos. Oddly enough, I don't even have a PhD. Or it's one of those things like everyone knows that. Who knows?
Okay.
He suggests the following. The reason why the Kohen does this Shechita is not because it's a din in Avoda, that the Kohen Gadol has to do all the Avodas, or that everyone else like a Tzar, and it's the Kohen Gadol's dominant role. But rather, it's a special halacha that there are certain avodas that we are makbid that Bailim do. The owner of the carbon does. Since the Kohen Gadol is the owner of this carbon, just like only the owner of the carbon can do smicha, can rest and do that avod of smicha on the carbon, the shechita of the par can only be done by the owner. The Achronim are very bothered by this. Only the owner can do shechita? Question number one, is that true? Do we ever find that halacha, that the owner of the karban, only he can do it? Then it's Siv writes in Chumash, here in Achrei Mos, that l'charchila the owner should do the shechita. But most don't, where we find that idea, that the owner has to do the shechita, we don't find that typically. Second question, the Brisker Rav points out, a comment of the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, if you hold that the Kohen Gadol has to shecht his par, he also has to shecht the Seir. He's also the Seir Lashem. He has to also shecht the Seir. Says the Brisker Rav, he definitely doesn't own the Seir. So if the only reason why he has to shecht the par is because he's the owner, so how can the Yerushalmi say, just like he shechts the par, he shechts the seir. The par he shechts because he's the owner. But if you hold, like the first way we said, that the reason why the Kohen Gadol shechts it is because it's the avod of Yom Kippur, it's more on the Kohen Gadol, and his role expands. So just like his role expands for the kapara of Kohanim, it expands. He has to do the shechita for the seir also. So says the Brisker Rav, what do you mean it's a din in Bailim that the Kohen Gadol shechts his par because he's the owner of it? That's not true. If that were true, there's no way that Yerushalmi could say that because he shechts his par, he also has to shecht the Seir. Who says that's true at all? General clarity, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Yeah, Velva, what's up?
Can I just say that last bit?
Yeah. Basically like this. The Yerushalmi says, just like he has to shecht his own par, he also has to shecht the Seir Lashem. So like this. If you understand the reason why he shechts his own par is because it's a unique Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol does more stuff. And his Kedusha expands. He has to do everything, even some of the Shechitas. Chovas Hayom. So it makes sense to say, just as it expands for the par of Yom Kippur, it expands for the not the seir shemishaleach that we throw off a cliff. The seir LaHashem, it makes sense. It expands for that also. But according to the Deya and Tosfos, that the reason why he does the par is because he's the owner of it. So what does Yushalmi mean? Just like he shechts the par because he's the owner of it, he has to shecht the seir. He doesn't own the seir. He only owns the par. He only owns the par. The Gevura Sari points out what seems to be a nafkamina, but not so simple for some deyas. He says, you know what the nafkamina is? Why is he shechting? Does he have to wear big day kohen, big day kahuna, when he shechts the par? According to the first mahalech, it's really because it's an avoda. It's Yom Kippur doing the avoda. It expands. He has to do everything, even the shechit is part of the avoda. So he has to wear big day kahuna. But according to this other daya of Rabbi Yosef Kaltzon, that's how at least we're saying it, that according to him, it's not really an avoda. It's a general halacha that even though shechit is not an avoda, the owner of the par has to shecht it. Okay, so the owner has to shecht it. But it's not an avoda, and therefore he doesn't need to wear big day kohen gadol, big day kohen gadol. But he doesn't think that's so true. But he thinks that would be a little bit of a nafkamina. So we have really two mahalchim, why the kohen is shechting the par. Because in this case, even the shechita becomes like elevated. And even though generally shechting the animal is not part of the avodah and Yom Kippur, everything is holier, everything requires Kohen Gadol, we have higher standards, all the avodah is more significant, all the Kohen Gadol's role is expanded, therefore he has to do it. Or, no, it's a unique halacha that he's the owner of the karban, and because he is the owner of the karban, he has to do it. Even though in general, owners don't have to. This one he does. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Yonatan, you have a question or no?
Yeah, would you mind just repeating the nafkamina again?
Yeah, nafkamina is, again, we saw two mahalchim, why he's shechting it. Because it's on Yom Kippur, even the shechita is like called an avoda, and therefore the Kohen Gadol has to do it. He has to do everything in Yom Kippur. Or, even though it's not an avoda, the halacha is, the owner has to shecht it. The Kohen Gadol is the owner, he has to shecht it. Nafkamina is, does he have to wear Big Day Kahuna when he shechs it? You only have to wear Big Day Kahuna for the Avoda. So for the first Mahalach, the Shechita on Yom Kippur is called an Avoda. It's on Yom Kippur, everything's called an Avoda. So you have to wear Big Day Kahuna. For the second one, it's not an Avoda, it's just he's the owner. Well, if it's just that he's the owner, so then he doesn't have to wear Big Day Kahuna. He can wear anything he wants, he just has to do it. Now, either way, what you're going to have is the Kohen Gadol's role, certainly with the par, and maybe in general on Yom Kippur, is expanded. For the first mahalach, it's expanding because Kohen Gadol like everywhere. Even for the second, we don't normally make the owner shecht the karvan. Dafka on the par of the Kohen Gadol, we make the owner shecht the karvan. Maybe there's something unique about his ownership that he has to shecht the karvan. What's going on there? So I want to just develop an idea. You can take it or leave it, but I think it's a really intriguing idea. I think there are horn that say elements of it, but we'll try to expand it in the following, I think, interesting way. The Gemara in Yuma and Daf Nun Aleph has interesting discussion. This par of a Kohen Gadol, it's complicated Shakla Vitaria, Rashi, Tosfos, Ritva, Tomos Yeshanim, Rambam, a lot of the Rishonim are done in how you read the Gemaras. But there seems to be a machlokas, what kind of karban is the par of the Kohen Gadol? And there are three possibilities. One possibility is, it's a karban yachid. It's the Kohen Gadol's karban. Seems to be one day in the Gemara, he pays for it. He's the owner of it. That's why there's a shechita, it's his karban. Alternatively, you could argue, it's more of like a karban sibor. Albeit he pays for it, but it's mischaper for all of the Kohanim. It's a much broader kind of a karban. And it seems like it's also even like part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which is part of like the whole Yom Kippur Avodah, relevant to everyone. Relevant to everyone. So there's possibly, you could suggest, it's more of like a Karban Sibor. Ritva, Tovus Yeshanim. So I'm going to entertain that discussion. A third possibility is it's more in the category of a Karban Shutfin. It's like the Kohen Gadol, but he's partners with the other Kohanim. A fourth possibility. The Rambam writes in his Hakdama to Seder Kachim, the Rambam writes there are four kinds of Karbanos. Karban Yachids, Karban Sibors, Karban Sibors that are like Karban Yachids, and Karban Yachids that are like Karban Sibors. And the Rambam says, this par, it's like a Karban Yachid, which is like a Karban Sibor. So it's either a Karban Yachid, a Karban Shutfin, which is like a Karban Yachid, a Karban Sibor, a Karban Yachid Hadome, the Karban Sibor. And these are all discussions in different Mefarshim, how you figure it out. Is it from the Mari Korkus and B.S. Mikdash, Dal and Yud? It's Gemaras in Pesachim and Samach Zayin and Ayin Vav, the Gemaras in Yuman Daf Nin Aleph. It's a lot of Gemaras. If we weren't doing this as a one-time shiur, there's a lot to sort of break down as far as the Shakta Vitaria. What exactly is going on? Yes, Velvel, excellent. Karban Pesach's in that same camp. The same ambiguity and the same maybe Karban Yachid, which is like a Karban Sibor. Fantastic. So what's going on here? So I'll make a suggestion. I believe there are those who suggest this in general, and I think it's a really intriguing idea, and I think the Par Kohen Gadol represents this in a very interesting way. Normally, the line between Yachid and Sibor is very clear. There are individuals, and there is a Sibor coming together. And we spoke before Pesach a little bit about the difference between a Yachid and a Sibor. You know, we're aware of that difference. There are certain individuals, though, who, by virtue of their kedusha, their role, their job, they become not normal yechidim, but they are yechidim that transcend their individual status. They are national, not even just individual leaders. They are people that represent and almost like attain elements of what they do, reverberate, and has Sibor-like components. It's like sometimes a mashal mahadavar doma lahavdil when it comes to members of like the royal family. So the royal family, they're not really individuals or private citizens the way regular, you know, we've known here from England today, but regular, I guess, people from England are regular private citizens. They are almost like a cheftza shel klal. In the way, interesting enough, in the royal family, like even follow like, you know, the news about, you know, Harry, like how much like individual money they have, what's called property of the state, what's called really theirs, who even really owns their children. There's a lot of like interesting discussions that take place. But for the Kohen Gadol, he's a Karban Yachid, but his Yachid type status, it seems to also have Tzibor like components. The way that I would say that is a Machlokas in the Gemara, even in Menachos, in a similar context. What is the Minchas Chavitin, the daily Karban that the Kohen Gadol offers every morning and every afternoon? Is the Kohen Gadol more of a, is the Kohen Gadol for the Mitzvah, is that a Karban Yachid? Is that a Karban Sibor? It's a fascinating machlokas. If the Kohen Gadol dies after offering the first half of the Minchas Chavitin, is the second half paid for by his Yorshim or by Klal Yisrael? How much is he sort of like, it's that wonderful tension. He's a Yachid, he's Klal Yisrael. The day it becomes most extreme or most clear is on Yom Kippur. He's an individual Kohen Gadol, but he's a Cheftza functioning on behalf of and part of the Tzibor. In that sense, it's not surprising that his Karban has elements of the ambiguity of, well, Yachid, Tzibor, Shutfin, Yachid with Sibor components, because he really sort of challenges some of our definitions. Hence that Rambam Hagdara, even of Yachid Domel Tzibor, makes a lot of sense that people can become like a Cheftza Shel Tzibor in a certain sense. And in many ways, that's part of what I think, even like I would suggest, maybe even the multiple parts of the Avod, of the Vidoy, are really about. He's functioning on multiple levels in multiple ways. It's the vidui of him and his family. It's the vidui of him being part of Shevet Kohuna. It's the vidui eventually on the Seir for all of Klal Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol's playing multiple roles, and really, not just multiple separate roles, but playing them all together on Yom Kippur. He is the Yachid, which is so tapped into, so representative of, so much a model for Klal as a whole. And this is part of a larger subject of Kahuna. Kohanim, in that sense, I'll just speak for a moment. Rosenberg, I think, has developed this idea. Rav Shlomo Fischer also, the difference between Sigis and Seven Paragraph and Mesechus Nazir. The difference between a Kohen and a Nazir. Nazir is separate and just separate. Kohanim are supposed to be separate, but they're supposed to impact the Klal. It's a separate, like, stature, but it's supposed to reverberate down, like a trickle-down kind of a sense. And the Kohen Gadol is the model for us of pure, unadulterated, kulo l'Hashem religiosity. But it's one which is not supposed to be separate and distinct, but one which impacts us. That's part of what the Kohanim are really there for, and what's really driving a lot of this. The part of the Kohen Gadol is, on the one hand, his karban, so his bailus gets highlighted, he does a shechita, but the karban, at the same karban, which is so him-focused, it also is the karban, which is the vidoy for him, his family, and for all the Shevet of Kahuna. That it breaks sort of some of these rules, because that's what the Kohen Gadol is about. The yachid with the tzibor, and trying to be a model for us, for the individual that's so much more like Lahav, I don't know, Gadol, not mean the Kohen Gadol, I guess, Gadol Yisrael sometimes, where they give of themselves to the Klal, to the extent in which they are private citizens, but they're also not private citizens. Their time is not really their own. They almost belong to the people in a certain sense. A big discussion, you know, with the Rebbe and Dida Natsach holding that discussion. But there's a lot of great Torah about national figures and their role and the like. In that sense, I think the power of the Kohen Gadol represents for us something important about the role of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and maybe all year round in a certain sense, but it's an important carbon for highlighting a lot. So we saw the Kohen Gadol, this carbon of the par of the Kohen Gadol, he offers it, he pays for it, two vidois are done on it, it's the makor that the Kohen Gadol has to be married, the Gvuras Ari says, only for that or other things also, we're going to do zrikas that go all the way in, it's what he does, it's also a discussion. Does he have to do the shechita or not? And it discusses the carbon yachid or a carbon tzibor. Putting it together, some really intriguing Torah about the unique status and nature of the Kohen Gadol, the unparalleled role that in many ways he plays.